Our scripture this morning is, first of all, from the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. The background to this is that Solomon has rebuilt the temple and furnished it and dedicated it. Now, this is the Lord's response. This section is headed, "The Lord appears to Solomon." When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, "I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there." Ending at verse 16. Then the New Testament is taken, reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 18. And it's entitled, "Future Glory." "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. Just before I preach, I'm just going to put everybody onto the gallery view so we can just get a glimpse of everybody. And that's great. I don't think people are sleeping yet. That's good. Let's pray together. Eternal God, thank you for your word of truth and life to us. And we pray that as we come now to reflect upon it, you would help us by your Spirit to hear what you are saying to us. And then, Lord, with that same Spirit, help us to respond appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. So this week we've seen the easing of restrictions, and it allows churches then to reopen from next Sunday. Now, just because there is a possibility of the churches reopening doesn't mean that churches have to reopen. So we need to just hear that loud and clear. Now, some will greet this news with great excitement, and they will be delighted to hear this. Some will actually be very, very nervous about churches reopening. Even with the reopening of churches, though, for public worship, for gathering, there are so many guidelines that need to be observed before we would get to that point. Now, as I say these words, you will have your own personal thoughts on what is appropriate and what is not, when the time is right to begin gathering for public worship. Now, I know that some people have been praying fervently for the restrictions to lift as soon as possible so that we can worship again together. On the other hand, I know that some people will have been praying that we shouldn't gather together until such times as it's really, really safe to gather. So we don't need to rush back. So the question I have as I consider this is, which prayer is heard and answered by the Lord? Now, I simply use this as a live issue, but as an example of how to understand prayer when there are conflicting prayers from God's people. Now, often our prayers reflect our own agendas. That's not a bad thing in itself, because often we pray for the well-being of loved ones. Of course, that is right and proper and good. But for example, when it comes to political things, people often pray in their silos. When it comes to elections, you'll maybe find yourself praying for victory for whichever political party or person you voted for. Or, for example, when we or a loved one is going for a job interview, it's understandable that we pray for that person whom we know and love to get that job. At the same time, however, somebody else is praying that their loved one gets that same job. Again, conflicting prayers from God's people. Who does God listen to in that sense? So when it comes to our current situation, what should we be praying for? Now, if I consider that within myself, I'm actually really conflicted. I'm not in any rush to gather back for public worship until such times as we think that we can reasonably manage the virus. And we don't know how long that will be down the line. On the other hand, my heart aches for those who don't have internet, for those who haven't been able to connect with our worship services online or like today on Zoom, or those who are really lonely and crave that interaction with others in our fellowship. So my heart breaks for them. So for me, I'm comforted when I read this passage from Romans 8, particularly verse 26. Because it reminds us, in the same way, the Spirit comes to help our weakness. We don't know what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows how the Spirit thinks, because he pleads for the saints consistent with God's will. In all things, just like you, I want to know and do God's will. Otherwise, life is a really uphill battle. But what is God's will for us as a congregation in this present context? Well, we don't know. And so, of course, we pray. And our prayers must be with open hearts rather than focused on our perhaps sometimes narrow and self-centered agendas. So how do we pray? I think that our prayers need to begin when we reflect about the condition that we find ourselves in. They need to begin with prayers of lament. Now, I talked about this on Palm Sunday, so I really don't want to repeat myself and go through all that again. But suffice to say that this has been a time of immense grieving, and Orla was right to highlight that again. So many people are so sad in so many different ways, not least in losing loved ones, but also in losing jobs and income and livelihoods. And as the people of God, we stand alongside those who have suffered and who are suffering. And part also of our sadness includes not being able to worship together. I can't wait to get back together when it is safe to do so and see everybody. And watch out, I'm coming with the biggest hugs I can muster up. I can't wait to see everybody in person and gather again together. But until we can do that, we're sad. We lament. Psalm 137 perhaps puts words to this. Besides the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of poplar trees, for our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a pagan land? How can we be joyful when creation is groaning under the weight of coronavirus, which has brought so much pain? It is like living in a foreign land. And so, like God's people throughout the ages, we cry out to God, and these prayers of lament don't convey a lack of trust in the Lord. Actually, it's the opposite. We lament because we know that even though things aren't as they are meant to be, God is loving and faithful. And as Orla reminded us with that tree grown out of a bin, God will bring the good things out of the bad things. So first we offer prayers of lament. The next I want to suggest that we offer prayers for peace. Let me take you back to the evening of that day of Christ's resurrection, when he was with his disciples. John 20 verse 19 says, "It was still the first day of the week. That evening, while the disciples were behind closed doors for fear of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, 'Peace be with you.'" We can identify with the disciples here, can't we? Now, they were behind closed doors because of fear of the Jewish authorities. Many of us have been behind closed doors for fear of the coronavirus. But of course, we think back to Thomas. He wasn't there on that day of Christ's resurrection. So, of course, he doubted what the disciples were saying. But, of course, then we're told that 8 days later, Jesus appeared again with the disciples, and this time Thomas was there. But on both occasions, Jesus blesses them by saying, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Now, I suggest that we do well to pray for peace for people in the midst of anxiety, whatever has been the cause of that anxiety. And we do well to pray for peace for ourselves, because this will be taking a toll on us in ways that we perhaps don't yet see in ourselves. Perhaps we've just been a bit more snappy and less patient in our household. Who knows? But we've been under stress, we've had anxiety, and so we need to pray for peace for ourselves and for loved ones and for each other. A third thing that we need to do when we pray in the midst of all this is to pray for the welfare of the city. Because we do well to look outward. Because this isn't just about us in our small corner. We want to pray for our city, meaning our neighbourhood, the place where we live. Let me remind you of the words of Jeremiah 29, verse 7. "Promote the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because your future depends on its welfare." Your future depends on its welfare. Our prayers should reflect the welfare of others in our neighbourhood. So that means that we shouldn't gather for public worship until such times as it is safe to do so. Now, we have a duty of care for our congregation, but also for anyone in our neighbourhood who would wish to join us for worship. Now, Methodist Church and I have set up guidelines for us to follow, and some churches will take the opportunity to gather and open their doors. And I know of some churches fairly locally who are going to do that from next Sunday. There might be pressure coming from some quarters where people saying we should open because such and such a church down the road is opening. what I have said to the church council, and I say publicly to you, that whatever decision, whenever we decide to gather again for public worship, and however that looks, that will be done by a decision by church council, not me going off on a whim. It'll be done together as church council. And who knows what will that look like, and when that exactly will be. COVID-19 has pressed the reset button for this world. Some will be eager to get back to life in whatever the new normal looks like, hoping that it will be as similar as possible to life pre-COVID-19. Others will hope that we can take this time to pause and reflect on what God is saying to his people right now. On Monday night of this past week, a few of us attended a webinar run by the Home Mission Department of the Methodist Church in Ireland. And part of that was to encourage us to stop and ask, what is the Lord calling us to be and do as we move out of lockdown? To that end, we need to listen carefully for God's voice in the midst of our current situation. Quite often we're looking for God's voice in the chaos and the thunder and the noisiness of things. But of course, remember the story of Elijah, and it's about hearing God's voice, that still, small, gentle voice. One of the questions that was posed, what is God whispering? What is God whispering? In discerning the mind of Christ for us going forward as a church family, I want to suggest that it begins with us being in earnest prayer. And if it is appropriate for you, I encourage you to involve fasting with that as well. No doubt there will be changes to the way things used to be, whether that refers to church life or to within society. But in everything, I encourage us to seek the will of God, the mind of Christ. And when we don't know what to pray for, because quite often we don't know what to pray for, we allow the Spirit to take our heart, to take our motivation, and bring it to the Father. Amen. Let us pray together. And so, eternal God, thank you that even though sometimes we are such at a loss to know how to pray or what to pray for, your Spirit takes our hearts and brings it to the Father. Lord, in these days, help us to then be people of prayer, seeking your heart for us, seeking your will, so that we will more faithfully reflect your glory to the world. So guide us, we pray, in all things, through Christ our Lord. Amen.